Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Well, today we're going to get into the Word, Luke 10 specifically, verses 25 through 37. If you want to get there, we're going to be there in just a little bit. But if you're new to Reach, maybe today is your first Sunday. If you've not been around here for a while, for the majority of the year, I preach out of what you're reading in the One Year Bible. And you may be asking yourself, what is the One Year Bible? Well, let me tell you. On our guest services table, which is the last table as you're walking out the door, there's free ones there for you. If you'd like one of them, grab it. It is our gift to you. But basically, if you open it up to today's date, you will get a section of Old Testament, usually two chapters, a section of New Testament, and a section of Psalms and Proverbs. And if you read every day in the calendar year, you will read the entire Bible, I think Psalms twice and maybe Proverbs two or three times. We do that on purpose because we think the best way for you to live like Jesus is greater is to know His Word and to begin to live His Word out. And you cannot live something out that you don't know, and you can't know something that you don't read. So we want you to be in the Word. And part of the reason why we do, or I do what I do, is because you read this text this week. And hopefully, as you're reading, you're looking and going, hey, you know, what does God have for me today? What does God want to speak? And hopefully, some of the things that you see during the week, you come here on Sunday and you're like, oh, man, here we go again. I don't think the majority of us in this room don't necessarily need more inspiration. We know more of the Bible than we probably need to. And don't run with that tangent too long, because let me get to my point. My point is, we need to do what the Bible says. That's the heart of it. You know, we know all these things, and we challenge people on all these things, but a lot of times we don't live out those things. And so today's text is talking specifically about us living out what is our life in Christ. So for the last 2 weeks, we've done a series outside of the One Year Bible for the resurrection. And we talked about Jesus' willingness to show His love for you and I by going to the cross to make a way back to the Father. So the question today is, what does God want from us? And not that this is the only thing. I think there's lots of things that God wants from us, and that's what the Word tells us. Hey, He says, follow me, do these things that I do. So how do we do that? How do we demonstrate our love and faith to our Savior, who demonstrated His love for us on the cross, has given us an opportunity to be known and loved and be sons and daughters of the King, of the Father. Well, I think one of the best ways that we can do that is that we can love people that we can see. And so I wrote this in here, and this may be funny or not, I don't know. Hopefully today you're wearing your steel-toe shoes. I know some of us are. Yeah, you're still, okay. because I believe today Jesus' words are going to step on our toes. I don't think most people in this room, if lived out the text today, I think they're like, well, I get to decide what I do with the text. And I don't think so. And I think the text today will show someone's question that knows the Word and wants clarity in how you live the Word, and then through living the Word, you get to experience who God is. James actually says that, you know, knowing the Word and living the Word is like looking in a mirror and realizing what's wrong with us and changing it. Looking at the Word and not doing what it said is like looking in the mirror. Like if you looked in the mirror this morning and realized your hair was out of whack and your teeth looked green, and you had a big spot on your face, and you're like, I need to fix that, but you leave and come to church like that. That's what it is to read the Word and not do the things, because the Word shows us, hey, here's these things that we need to work on in our soul, and it's never to deprive us. It's always to benefit us. So before we get into the Word, Let's pray. Father, oh, we need your grace because people are difficult. We need your grace to show your love and to live like you did and to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross and follow you. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would bind the enemy from whispering condemnation in our ear. Lord, this message is a call to step up, not a call to beat down. So, Lord, would you not allow the enemy to beat down anyone in this room of, oh, man, another thing I'm not doing well. But, Lord, I pray that we would see your grace to take one step into the things that you're calling us to. So, Lord, give us your eyes and your ears so that we would be people that hear and understand you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, living out the resurrected life, which is what we should be talking about every Sunday, 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this, "And he died for all," talking about Jesus, "that those who live," us, because we're in this room because you're alive, take a breath just to validate that. You're alive. "That those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him whom for their sake died and was raised." That's our goal. Our goal is not to live out our whims and our fantasies and our stuff. Our goal is to live for him who gave his life for us. So how do we love? We love out of experience. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this. It says, "All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He first loved us. He first redeemed us so that we could go out and do the same thing." And we love through action, not just through thoughts or words. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And that doesn't mean that we don't love with words and talk. It means that our words and talk should match our actions. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says something like this. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Like, it is us. We are known. It is said that we are known to be his disciples by how we love. In Galatians 5:14 says this. It says, "For the whole law," all the law, "is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Which, if you've not caught on, that's what we're going to talk about today. One, the real question is, who is our neighbor? And we're going to see a religious person, and we do this all the time. We justify why we shouldn't treat a person with decency. We justify why we should not do whatever that thing is by the other person, and God's going to, or Jesus specifically, is going to deal with us in that. So before all of this, in the beginning of Luke 10, Jesus sends out his 72. He sends out 72 people, another 60 other than his disciples, to throughout the villages that he's going to go and preach the good news. And he gives them authority to cast out demons and heal diseases. And he says to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." He tells them, hey, there's so much that when he speaks to the Samaritan woman, and people are like, why are you even talking to a woman and a Samaritan, which we're going to talk about Samaritans in just a second. He tells his disciples, can't you see, as the whole town is coming out to see Jesus, he's like, look, the harvest is plentiful. And we may think our world is going straight to hell in a handbasket, and we may turn on the news and just think, how can God redeem this easily? Easily. If we would just get and understand, and I'm not saying there won't be conflict, I'm not saying there won't be things that are coming against us, I'm just saying that the task that is laid before us, it's all about God and less about us. He did that throughout every, you know, whether it's Gideon going from 30-some thousand people to 300, whether it's, you know, him eliminating all the warriors from this battle so that it would be from the Lord. And then we pick up in this conversation and starting in verse 25. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test." Now, we don't know whether this, a lot of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, a lot of the Pharisees, the lawyers, the Sadducees, they would say things to Jesus to try to trip him up. They would say things to Jesus to hopefully that he would say something heretical so that they could get rid of him. And so a lawyer comes up and asks him a question. His teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so just so you understand, a lawyer, you know, it's not like our lawyers. They were ones that were, well, they did, but it was the Mosaic law that they knew. They knew the Word of God. They made sure that it stayed what it was supposed to say. And here's one of those people who knows what it should be asking Jesus, "Teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26. And he said to him, "What is written in the law?" He's asking a question to make, and some of the best things that we can do when people pose something to us that we don't understand is clarify. Because sometimes we'll answer a question that they don't want the answer to because we don't know exactly what they're asking for. And so he wants to know what's going on inside of this lawyer and says, "What is written in the law and how do you read it?" And he answered him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and you will love your neighbor as yourself." How do you read it? He knew the words, but he wasn't walking out the word that he knew, which we're going to see in just a second. See, love is an action and not just knowledge. It is, I think, the most detrimental thing to the church right now is a people that know about God and know God's word, but don't live a life that reflects that knowledge. We see it. I mean, this is why most people don't like Christians, because they're living contrary to, and I'm not talking about pointing out sin, and I'm not talking about some of the other things, which we're going to deal with that a little bit here, but I'm talking about when we say one thing on Sunday morning, and then we walk outside and we act completely different. You know, driving down the road and all those things. Because tomorrow, guess what? Tomorrow, guys, bridge is closing again. Who's excited? You're going to get stuck in Wilmington. Stuck in Wilmington. Woo! At least we can get over to Wilmington without an issue. Verse 28. And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." See, the text in the law promised life for those who kept the law. If you're reading through Deuteronomy, it would say, hey, you just finished a section. It was like, hey, if you do all the things that I told you to do, you're going to be blessed. You know, no one's going to be able to come against you. All these things are going to be good. But if you don't, curse, 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 curse. And he's like, do that and you will live. This life meant long life in the land God had given them, specifically in the Old Testament. But many later Jewish interpreters read it as a promise of eternal life, a call to practice what you preach. Verse 29, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" We do this all the time. We try to be like, I know that the word says whatever, but let me find my way out. And this is what he's doing. This is what the lawyer's doing, because he knew the word. He quoted the word. Jesus says, you're right. If you go and do this, you'll live. See, he was trying to define who his neighbor is. He was trying to define who he could get away not loving. He was trying to find, because in most of the, if I remember this correctly, in Greek, neighbor meant anyone that you come in contact with. In Hebrew, neighbor meant of the family, like those you were connected to. So this is what he's trying to say. Hey, can we just love our Jewish brothers? Can we not love all these other people? And this, again, is the problem with most religious people. We're looking for a way to get out of the thing that God's called us to do. The thing that we know that we should be doing or should not be doing, we find excuses to continue to do the thing that we know we shouldn't, or to do the thing that we know we should step away from. Verse 30, and Jesus replied with a story. He's going to tell him this story. He's going to trick him into answering correctly to the story, which we'll see in just a second. So Jesus tells him a story. He says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So they're leaving Jerusalem, which is an important fact based on what we're going to see in just a second. He was from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. This was a highly dangerous road to be traveling on by yourself, which he was, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. You're like, we don't think of it like this. We think when we're getting robbed, people just want our money and our like pricey stuff. Back then, clothing was pricey stuff. So they stripped everything that he was wearing, and now he's laying there with next to nothing or nothing on, beaten half to death. And if this man was not helped, he would die. If he was left there, that would be the end of his life. Verse 31, and here comes salvation for him right here. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Because the priest was responsible for offering sacrifices on behalf of individuals, this makes the priest the gatekeeper to salvation and eternal life. Thus connecting the story to the original question, who is my neighbor? So he's walking by. And the reason why I said it was important, he's leaving Jerusalem. So the priest would do their work at the temple in Jerusalem. If he was going to Jerusalem, he might have a better case of why he would not want to touch someone that was maybe dead, because that would make him unclean and he was going to serve the Lord, but he's heading home. He's heading away from Jerusalem and he passes by on the other side. Like, no, not getting my hands dirty today. Verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. A Levite, in the narrow sense, these were members of a group who served as assistants to the priest in the temple. So you have the big guy that comes by and he's like, not today. You have his assistant. Maybe he saw the priest do this and he was like, well, he didn't. No, I don't want to. I don't want to get, you know, this is going to complicate my day. If for those that have done or are in Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, it talks about the idea that are you allowing God to interrupt your day? And let me just tell you, and you see this throughout the Gospels, and we see it in our life, we cannot schedule our service to the Lord. Now, if you work kids ministry or you're a greeter today, I mean, we schedule that and you're serving the Lord. But like as we're living in our life, we cannot just go, well, these are the times that I'm going to give to the Lord, because you have no idea what God's going to bring your way that he wants you to interact with for the benefit of you and others. The two people that you would have expected to stop and help didn't. They feared becoming unclean, even though they were on their way away from Jerusalem. This is when the story takes a fun twist. In verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So if you've been here for a while, you understand the Samaritans were like half-breeds. And I don't mean that like in a disrespectful thing, but that's what the Jews consider them. One of the things that Moses told them is not to intermarry with other people groups, because it would pull your heart away. It would take you away from the truth and believing. And the Samaritans were those. They had intermarried with people around, and they worshiped on different places, and they weren't necessarily obedient to what God had told them to do. And so Jews looked at them with like disdain. They did not like them. They were not friends with them. They would go out of their way to go around cities that had Samaritans in them. And it wasn't by happenstance that Jesus chose the Samaritan, which you'll find out in just a second, to be the hero of the story. Verse 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, which is like a day's wage, and he gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whenever more, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So it would be real easy for this innkeeper to be like, well, I'm going to take the money and throw the guy outside. But with promise of more money, he would probably take care of the man. See, the Samaritan took responsibility for this man. Verse 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? This is the question that he's posing to the lawyer who knows the law, who stated the words correctly. Notice what he says. He said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Notice what he didn't say. The lawyer could not even bring himself to say the Samaritan. He was like, the one who showed mercy. He wasn't going to say the Samaritan. Okay, the priest, like and lawyer, priest, and Levi, I mean, they're all connected. They're part of the same system. And the two people that he was like, okay, they're going to do it. They didn't do it. And the Samaritans become the hero. See, the lawyer was forced to sheepishly admit that the guy who isn't defining the boundaries of the law, he isn't living within their system of rules, and even in rebellion of them, is a better fulfiller of the law than the Levite who did it all by the book, and more importantly than the lawyers who already justified their lovelessness. He was already going, hey, like, I got this. I want to just clarify. Here's the words. But he knew that there was something missing. It's just like the young rich ruler who came to Jesus. How must I have eternal life? And he tells him, do these things. And he's like, oh, I've done all these things since the childhood. What else am I lacking? It's just they knew that there's something missing. And I think this is something that God does in us. That there's this piece that, like, I need something else. It's not just this. I'm missing some piece of it. This week, I was at Panera meeting with Simon Bradshaw, one of the Bradshaw's sons. He's potentially going to be taking over a church in Ogden to be their pastor. We've been meeting like once a month, and so I'm sitting in Panera, Sip Club. Anybody? If you go there a lot, I mean, it's, you know, like $10, but you get a free drink every time, and like it benefits. But be very careful. I don't know if you've been in there recently. They have signs, that caffeine in that, I don't know what they did in their lemonade, but like it's dangerous. There's like, children, don't drink this. Side note. So I'm sitting there, meeting with Simon, we're talking about church and stuff, and this sweet lady started going table to table. I didn't know what was going on. Like, I was just sitting there, you know, chatting. And I saw her talking to the table. I don't know if you've ever been in Panera, but, like, sometimes there's, like, groups of people that come in, and they're, like, they're together. There's a bunch of ladies that meet. There's a bunch of guys that meet, different groups. And so finally she made it to our table, and she was like, do you have a red Tacoma? I was like, yeah. She's like, I think I hit it. I was like, okay. Okay. I'm like, Lord, you know, like, it's just a car. And it is. It's 15 years old. Let's check it out. 146,000 miles on it. It's just a car. And so I'm like, okay, let's go check it out. So we go out there, and like, my car that's in the space, her car, I think another car was too close or something, and they were, like, touching. Like, the front end of her car and the front end of my car were, like, they were on each other. And I'm like, I don't know what kind of damage is under there. I'm like, Lord, you know, like, whatever. And she was like, you might do better. And she gives me the keys to her car. And I'm like, this is probably a bad idea. If it's not damaged, if I go the wrong way, it is going to be damaged. And how does that, and it's, I'm like, okay. And so I get her car off of mine, pull it in the spot. She had scuffs on hers. I had a little scuff on mine. And I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, it was just, it took some paint off of my wheel well, whatever. And I'm like, Lord, you know, just a truck. And so she was so grateful. She was like, oh, thank you so much. Like, and she was like, you know, do we need to do anything? And I was like, well, it's fine. Like, whatever. It had, her car had much more. I said, as long as you don't want anything, you know, you need something for your insurance. Like, I don't care. We don't need to call police. We'll go in. And so we're walking back inside. And I was like, how long you been in the area? And she's like, 12 years. I was like, oh, us too. And so we just chat and where she lived. And she lives in a neighborhood that's connected to mine. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I was like, do you have a church? And she was like, well, I don't. You know, I haven't found a church since I've been here. And I had to check that she's not in the room right now. And so I was like, well, and she was like, what about you? And I said, well, I pastor a church that meets in the senior center. I said, I'd love for you to come. And I think this is like, I think God was trying to teach me a lesson, because all that, like towards the end of the last week, I was like, man, I never gave a card out to somebody. I started thinking about Thursday and Friday, and I'm like, then the one conversation I had with somebody that didn't have a card. And I'm like, all right. And I was like, well, you know, here's our service times. This is when we meet. We'd love to have you come out and check us out. And I said, just come up to me and be like, hey, I'm the one that hit your car in Panera. And she's like, I told her that. And she was like, why don't I say we met at Panera? And I was like, even better. And so I sat back down with Simon, and we're, you know, the guys that were sitting right across from me, they're like, hey, like, how's your truck? And I was like, it's fine. And so I meet with Simon for like another 20 minutes or so, and then there's like 12 ladies sitting. And it was a great, great, great moment just to show love to people. And we get to, in those moments, clarify who Christ is to us. Because it is not just in us to declare what is right and wrong with people. Like, what happened here? And we don't base our whole theology off of this story. We don't base our whole theology to where we, you know, we must, every time we see somebody on the side of the road, we must stop. And every time we see this, we don't base our theology on that, but we do base our care for people. The Samaritan didn't go to the person laying on the side of the road and check his credentials and look at his face and, you know, is he a Samaritan so that I can help him? It doesn't say what he is. We don't know if he's Jew or Samaritan. We don't know any of that. But we do know that in these moments, he was a neighbor to this man. He was going to show love to this man. He didn't care about his background. He didn't care what was he going to be able to pay him back? He just cared that there's someone that's hurting and dying. And this is the heart that we need to have for the world that we're in right now. Because people are hurting and dying around us. And before we can ever speak truth to them, we have to love them. And I'm going to say this with some clarity in a little bit. And love doesn't mean that everything that you're doing, we're going to cheerlead and say, that's great, you should continue to do it because Jesus didn't do that. But we are going to love people even when they're not doing the things that we think they should. Because they were created in the image of God. And they have the potential of being his children. And they're only going to have an opportunity to be his children if they hear about him. And they see Jesus. See, our world doesn't get to see Jesus in the flesh anymore. Our world only gets to experience the physical presence of Jesus through his disciples, through his people that we love. And that means on our end that we have to choose to love people first, speak truth to them in love. He told the lawyer as he finished the conversation, he says, go and do likewise. Here's a clarity that I want to make sure. Because I think sometimes when we talk about the doing, especially when it's based on a question that the lawyer asked, how must I gain eternal life? And Jesus tells him to go and do something, and I need to make sure that I say out loud for us that the doing of things isn't what it earns our place, our spot in heaven. Our belief and our faith saves us. But out of that belief and faith, there should be action that follows. Will loving others well earn you a place in heaven? No, it will not. There are people, there are organizations that have done more amazing things for people, loving people, feeding people, caring for people, that will miss the grace of God. So our goodness and our works don't earn us a place with the Father, but it will show others how well we listen and love our Father. We will be known by how we love. We will be known by how we treat other people. See, loving people isn't agreeing with everything they think or do. We need to make sure that we separate that. Loving people is treating everyone that you come in contact with like they were created in the image of God. And this is the thing, I've talked about this a couple of times here. This is the thing that should shape our view of people. We need to start with the reality that God made them in His image, that God had a purpose and a plan for them. And I know some of the people at this point don't look like they're honoring the image that they were created in, but look at us. There's people in this room that love Jesus right now that if you knew them before and where God took them from, you would have thought, how in the world did they make it in? Like that's the grace of God. Like we don't get to like do the little bit of work, the minimum standard, throw a little money in the box, serve at church and go, man, I get heaven. We get to trust and believe in Jesus and we get to be His disciples. We get to bend our knee. And the beauty of last week and every week when we offer people an opportunity to know Jesus, it is the beginning of a journey. It's the beginning of a life submitted to Jesus. It's not this one counter, like I'm going to go punch my card so I can get into heaven so that when I get to heaven, I can show Jesus my card. Baptized, dee-dee, saved, dee-dee. Jesus wants our heart. He wants every bit of us because having us means that He has the opportunity to reach other people. So things to consider about loving other people. Loving people isn't something that we have a choice about doing. It isn't. You cannot, by your personality, saying, I'm just grumpy, I'm just not nice, like it's just who I am. No, that's not who God made you to be. And a God who knew that that was how you were came and died for you so that you could be set free from that, so that you could understand His love, and understanding His love, you would have an opportunity to do what He did. Remember, Jesus is the same one that wrapped a towel around His waist and wiped, washed feet of His disciples. And what did He tell them to do? Go and do likewise. This is Jesus demonstrated His love and care for people first, and then told them, go and sin no more. He demonstrated who He is. And just like He told to Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So we didn't just see Jesus get on the floor and wash feet. We saw the Father get on the floor and wash feet. We saw the Father willing to give grace and mercy to people that didn't deserve it so that they could have an opportunity to change. Loving people will be inconvenient. It will get in the way of what you want to do. And if you're not careful, your inconvenience will be shown in how you interact with them. Because let me tell you, I think I'm a nice guy. Like, tell me if I'm not. I think I'm a nice guy. I think I smile a lot, but I also notice that sometimes I'm just walking around with like a like a not nice face. Like I can feel it. I'm walking around and I'm like, what are people looking at me going, man, he just looks ill or something's wrong with his stomach. Like what is going on with him? And like, and so sometimes, I don't know if y'all do this, but I tell myself internally, not out loud because that's weird, like to smile. Like just while you're walking around, like because people are seeing you and you're like, I have to say to myself, like I'll just smile, make sure because if, especially if you ever see me in Lowe's or someplace where I'm on a mission, I don't ever go to stores just to walk around. I don't know about y'all. I mean, other than Costco, I love going aisle to aisle in Costco, spending all my money. But most of the other stores, like I'm going in, I know exactly what I want and I'm like on a mission and I'm like, they're probably like, get away from him. I've seen one of the guys in church, I've seen him like 3 times at Lowe's. Anybody just excited that we have a Lowe's hardware in town now? And I had on work clothes. And I guess he was like, what you doing here? I was like, you know, I'm building something. What, really? Like, he looked at me surprised, and I was like, come on now. I was like, well, what are you doing in here? Because, anyway. And so, like, then we kept seeing each other out in Lowe's. But, like, I have to be careful because, like, you find amazing people are all over Leland. And, you know, like, Sunday morning, like, game time, like, I want to smile and greeting, but, like, when I'm on a mission somewhere, I'm like, I'm not smiling. So we got to be careful that we're not allowing what's happening in our now to be inconvenienced us. Because if we feel inconvenienced, it will show in our faces. And then we need to figure out how we can learn to love people even when it isn't the moment that we want to. Here's another thing. Loving people will cost you. It will be painful. Because if you haven't figured this out already, when you put love out, when you love people, sometimes that love is not going to come back. Sometimes that love may even be turned into something not nice. And it will cost you. Loving people costs Jesus his life. Loving people will cost us. Here's the last thing before I ask you the question and we finish. Loving people will save lives. Here's what we need to know. Jesus said, pray. He says, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our job is to make this world as close to his kingdom as possible, bring people into relationship with the Father. And if we love people well, we'll have an opportunity to share the gospel with people so that they can hear the truth about who they are, and then they may begin to believe it. Because, and this sounds silly, but they're like, if they could love me? Because I think the hardest problem that people have with God, amongst other things, is they think to themselves, why would he love me? So many people you interact with, they feel so unloved that they believe that there's no chance that they should receive or they're worthy to receive love from anyone, much less the God who's perfect and holy. But if they can see his love through one of his disciples, then they're closer to believing that God could love them. And this is why we're here. So here's the question for you. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. Here's the question for you to answer to yourself, just like the lawyer. Who is your neighbor? See, that question isn't for you to decide, well, yep, this person, you know, the person that lives to the right and to the left across the street, they're my neighbors. The question answered in the text, which we need to understand, is that everybody that we come in contact with is our neighbor. And here's the crazy thing. God's going to bring people to you in very unusual situations to give you an opportunity to show his love. And let me tell you, it's not just to benefit them. Like, I believe that we're changed as we walk in obedience to God, as we begin to be his hand and feet, it changes us. It is such a blessing that we get to serve other people. So the question you need to answer today is, who is your neighbor? As I close today, I just want to remind you, because last week was a little different because of Easter, but our wall and our prayer team is going to be back in this room. And we did communion last week as a church, which we'll continue to do once a month together, but every Sunday we'll have prayer and communion. So there's little communion cups that are all gluten-free in the back. If you would like to take communion now, during worship or after service, we'd love for you to go do that with your family or by yourself. So here's where I want to pray for us. We cannot love people well without understanding how loved we are. We cannot, God reconciles us to himself so he can give us the ministry of reconciliation. We have to first experience his love. And if you've not experienced his love, maybe you're sitting in this room right now and you're like, man, why would he love me? When I said that just a few minutes ago, you're like, yep, that is me. I just want to tell you, I want to look at you in the face, and I want to say to you that God loved you so much that he came here to fix the issue that the law couldn't. The law and the rules and the sacrificial system, all of those things could not fix the issue that we had inside. And he came, lived a sinless life, died willingly on the cross for us so that we can trust and believe in that last and final sacrifice and be saved. And this morning, you could know the Father through the love of the Son and believe in that sacrifice and be a part of the family today. That's the beauty of the gospel. So I'm going to pray, and if that's something that you feel you want to do, you can do it during this prayer. You can do it afterwards. You can do it with one of our people in the back during prayer time. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that you loved us. Thank you that this week you're going to give us opportunities to love people well. And I thank you in advance for those people in this room that are going to see the opportunity. They're going to know it's from you, and they're going to walk into it. And the grace of the living God will bind up the broken heart. And so, Lord, let us be willing to be inconvenienced. Let us be willing to sacrifice our time and our agenda for other people. Lord, let us know that you've loved us. And I pray for those in this room right now that they want you. They want to know that you love them. But Lord, I pray that they would have a moment this morning to settle the reality that you loved us. And you've called us to know you. And we can trust and believe in that sacrifice and begin to live for you and with you. So this morning, will you do in us what we're unable to do? Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to show your love for the world today, tomorrow, and this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.